We're going to have our text tonight from John chapter 8. John's Gospel. And hear about the Lord Jesus Christ is what we're here tonight to celebrate. And we want to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory here in the scriptures tonight. So I pray that your hearts will be both warmed and rejoicing as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at John chapter 8 and verse 12, but I'd also like to, if you could, just maybe put something in your Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at just a couple of verses toward the end at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because it really does point to the same thing that John chapter 8 verse 12 does, as well as the actual beginning of the Bible in Genesis as well. So we'll just read John chapter 8 now and verse 12. One has said that this scripture, this text, is good for the young believer who can only wade in a small bit into the ocean. But for the mature believer, this scripture is like the ocean full of water, be able to absorb it all. And so I pray that that would be the case. John chapter 8, verse 12. Now, the first 11 verses of this chapter 8 has a bracket around it, and you'll notice that it is not in all of the early texts. There is probably in 900 of them, but not in some of the earliest texts. So there's a bracket around there. But this chapter 8 does follow, obviously, chapter 7, and I'll explain the context of that. So let's read just verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would show us the light tonight, we see the lights, but we pray that we would see the light. Lord, that as you've shown your wise men and kings the light, may you show us your light tonight as well. We pray your blessing upon these words that you have given to us and all the words that we will see in your word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is the light of the world. This is the season of lights, as you're probably aware. Almost everyone, although as I left my house, I was told that I'm the only house or one of the only houses without the lights on, because I did forget to put the lights on the way out. But it is the season of lights, and we see them everywhere in the cities, in the towns, in the villages, the Christmas trees, the homes, the main streets are all lit up, and everyone is excited, on the move. It's a hustle and bustle time. Right. And everyone is looking to get things done as they need to. And there's a little bit of pressure. Anybody ever feel any pressure during this time? Slight pressure that the world puts on us, as if we have to do everything that we do. But we do it and we enjoy doing it and enjoy the Christmas season. The problem sometimes is that those we buy gifts for, we're so busy buying gifts. We're buying gifts for people and they're also busy trying to buy gifts and even buying for us. So everyone's a little bit kind of running and anxiety ridden at this point of the year, and everyone's harried and feel the pressure. And when it's all done, I'm sure, and I don't relate to this as much because I'm not the present buyer, although I do a little bit online, so I don't see the stores during this time of year. I don't know about you, but that's not my favorite thing to do. But we take a deep breath after this is all over, don't we? Just kind of, we accomplished what we needed to do, and hopefully there's a little bit of relaxation. But then there's the traveling and to the various family members, and it gets a little bit anxious, doesn't it, during this time of year? It's hard to focus on the things that are really important when we're so caught up many times on the things that we do have to do or do. And so based on this description, you might think that I'm a Mr. Scrooge this time of year. And in fact, my kids will tell you that used to be the case. But young people, as you mature, you do grow a little bit in wisdom. I just
any of you young people out there, just so you know, as we grow older, we get a little bit more wisdom. And hopefully the Lord provides that wisdom. And for the record, I've grown in my Christmas spirit. So when Jesus Christ is now the focus, which it is for me, the season takes on a whole new dimension. And I can say without reservation and without fear of being theologically incorrect for all your theologians out there, I'm a little concerned about what I'm about to say. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Is that okay? All right, we're good. So I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I want to celebrate with all of you the greatest gift and gift giver, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because that is where we are tonight. And so if you're concerned with my little liberal spirit tonight, I say, God rest you, merry gentlemen and ladies. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. You feeling joyful this season? Also, just in case, I thought maybe we should, they were not politically correct back in those days. So, ladies, good Christian men and women rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Jesus Christ is born today. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Why shouldn't we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us? Like the feast of old, we should rejoice. But many people do struggle this time of year. Some of us have memories of this time. I know I have neighbors that I grew up with that really struggled during this time for various reasons. And so some people aren't as joyful during this time for years for a variety of reasons. And I hope the words of Jesus here tonight will bring you both blessings and joy as you contemplate his love and his mercy toward us as sinners. Now, to set the context, Jesus has just left in this text here. Jesus has just left the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And we're on the last great day of the feast. Jesus stands up and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will grow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit, and perhaps a reference to Isaiah 12, which says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, because remember, they lived in these tents during the wilderness, the Israelites, and they're celebrating this feast, which we're required to celebrate, and it included the pouring of water, and here Jesus claims to be the one who will water the souls of men with the living water of the Holy Spirit and bring them joy and peace with their God. But here in our main text, Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Here again, the Feast of Tabernacles, they had just celebrated. There was another ritual of pouring of oil into the basins of a large candelabra in the temple. And they lit that, of course, and the people from all around the city could see the temple and see the light. And it would remind them of the time they were in the desert when God became their light, right? There was a pillar of light and pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of light by night, which led them through the wilderness and got them where the Lord would want to bring them. So they were celebrating this, and Jesus, right after this, stands up and says, I am the light of the world. He tells the people that he is the light. He is the one who guided. This is Jesus Christ. He is the one who guided his people in the desert. He is God, a very God. He is the one who can bring them this very day out of their spiritual darkness and out of their legalistic religion. You know, I don't know about you, but having been a religious person in the past as I grew up, I always thought that around this time my religion would make me happy and give me much joy. But it turned out that wasn't the case. And Jesus here describes himself as the light which can take over the darkness. The darkness cannot contend with this light.
Jesus' light is the light of life and the light of the world. So in this same Jesus, John, in his first chapter, if you know the book of John, in the first chapter of the gospel, he says that the Word, Jesus Christ himself, is the eternal God, one with the Father, and Jesus is the creator of all things. It's important for us to see this babe in the manger. The babe in the manger who is the very God of very God, the creator of all things. It says in chapter 1 of John's gospel, it says all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. People love to see the cuddly little baby in the manger. No, it's very cute, little cuddly baby. This is the God of creation, according to the scripture. This is what John is saying. And John further says that in him, in Jesus, the eternal Word was life itself. And this life was the light of men. And this light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it, nor could it overcome or overpower it. It's not the works of man that brings light. It's not what we do that brings light into our hearts. It's the light of Christ, where he brings the light. He is the light and the life. When we focus at this time of year on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will illuminate us and give us a fresh perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ and all he is to us. Creator God in Bethlehem. These amazing words of John. Matter of fact, these words of John that say that the Word was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, and that he is the light, brings us to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1. The amazing words of John mirror the words in the book of Genesis, which marks out the very beginning. It's very important to see this. What John is saying is this is the one in the beginning. As we read in the very first words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was dark and formless. As the Spirit hovered over the dark surface of the deep waters, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. This is the one who created all things. He's saying that the first chapter, in John's first chapter, that Jesus is creator God in Genesis, who brings light out of darkness and light out of emptiness. This is exactly what Jesus is saying in John chapter 8. That he is the light and brings light out of darkness. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message we ought to share with others about this baby born in a lowly manger, marked out by a star. Now, I don't know if you read, when you read the text, if you noticed, it wasn't just any star. The first scripture reading says that they asked him, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star. It wasn't a star. It was his star. He created all the stars. And he brings light through whatever means he decides to bring light. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. This little babe created the stars and used his star to open the eyes of Gentile kings. As Isaiah said in chapter 60, the Gentiles shall come to your light. And the kings to your rising. This is all pointing, the entire scripture, all of scripture points to this babe, this Lord Jesus Christ, the babe that is light. And he will open the eyes of many with his light and bring them to himself like he did the kings and the wise men. But he will not have any room in the inn. When he is born, he will have nowhere to lay his head. When he ministers throughout, starting at age 30, Jesus had nowhere to lay his head as well. And he will have no grave of his own. Jesus didn't need the pomp and circumstance of the world. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for you and for me. It's an amazing thing. You see, despite the world's attempts to light up our world with all the Christmas lights, they can't bring
joy, they can't bring peace with our God. Since the evil one caused blindness to Adam and Eve, and they willfully sinned against the very God who walked with them. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and they sinned against this God. It's because of this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They sent his son to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life for you and for me, and to die on Calvary's cross. For sinners, us who wanted nothing to do with him. Amazing love. How can it be that my king, you, my king, would die for me? You see, there's only two types of people in this world. There are the people who are living in darkness. Jesus spoke in this chapter 8 after this happens. He speaks to the religious leaders and says, you are in darkness. I am not of this world. You are of this world. You are in darkness. You don't see the light. They were asking, this can't be the Messiah. They couldn't believe that he was the God of very God. And Jesus says, well, you're not of my world. You live in darkness. So there are those who do not know the Christ and live in darkness. And there are those who are like the wise men who see the light. Many of you here tonight have seen the light. And you have rejoiced like the kings. You have come to worship the babe, the king, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the light. The manger scenes, though beautiful, will not bring the true light. Only Jesus, the very word of God, brings light to all who hear his call. So we have these two types, one who lives in darkness and one who has seen the great light. The one who's seen the great light, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, rejoices in the light that they've been given. And because they do no longer abide in darkness. Perhaps some of you might not have come to the light tonight. You have never considered this Jesus, the very creator and sustainer of life. Perhaps tonight he will reveal himself to you through the scriptures in a way that he's never revealed to you before. Perhaps all of us here who hear this will afresh see this Jesus in Genesis 1 to the last book of Revelation, that God sent his son to save his people. Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Even religion cannot save us. And that's why all the religious leaders couldn't see the light, because they thought it was their religious deeds. They thought it was their works that would gain them to see the light and have life. That Jesus would give them. They didn't know that Jesus was God, and so they had no light. And so they continued to think that if they continued to do what they did, and their father Abraham, it was sufficient to have their father Abraham of descent so that they would be fine. But Jesus says, no, you live in darkness. But if you believe my word, if you see the light, and you believe my word, and you follow me, you will know me, and you will know the truth, and you will be set free. Jesus says you will be set free from condemnation forever. You will be set free to see the light. I remember the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a very religious man, and he was doing all the religious things, like putting Christians in jail and persecuting Christians. He was thinking that he was doing the God a good thing. Well, Christ literally shined the light on Paul. As he rode to Damascus, going after more Christians, Paul's eyes were opened and saw the light. He couldn't see Christ. He could see the light. And Christ said to him, why are you persecuting my people? And Christ opened his eyes and sent him to the Gentiles in order to open their eyes, to turn them, it says, to turn them from darkness into light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. This is what we should celebrate. If you know Christ here tonight, you should be celebrating that God has delivered you from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, and from the power of the world. It has no control over you. By the Spirit of God who lives in you, you are free. You are free forever. And so Paul received this light, and in his second letter to the Corinthians, I want you to turn with me there for a minute, because it really highlights again this Jesus, the babe in the manger, and who he really was, and who the people who live in darkness miss as they celebrate this Christmas season. I want to share with you just a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would turn with me there. It says in chapter 4, we'll read the first six verses. Therefore, since we have this ministry, Paul is shining the light. Again, this is the light of Christ that Paul has been commissioned to do. And so he says here, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, as was happening with some of the religious leaders, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And here it is. Here's the two types. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, that is, it's covered, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, perishing into eternity, perishing into condemnation, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. They have blinded their minds, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, it's veiled. They can't see. Lest the gospel come to them and shine the light of Christ to them and show him who this Christ is and how he can forgive their sins, why he came to forgive their sins. And then he says in verse 5, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And here's the verse. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Where do you hear that? Genesis chapter 1. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ is the knowledge of the glory of God. This babe that the kings came to worship, the light showed them the knowledge of the glory of God, and they gave glory to the king as he laid in that manger. This king, who we know, gave his life for the many. Genesis, in the beginning, where we behold the glory of God as creator, and now we sinners are given light to see the glory of God, not by works, not in anything we can offer God, but Jesus was offered as a perfect sacrifice for you and for me, and shed his blood as a substitutionary atonement for you and for me. We didn't have to atone for our sins. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. He paid the ultimate price. If you have not heard this message before, or if you have not seen the light before, I pray that God's word would turn you from your sin and turn you to Christ, that you would ask him to forgive you. And he will not turn you away. He is the Messiah, has come. Jesus has come to save you from your sins. Dear brothers and sisters, my last comment to you is, during this time of the year, we have the light and we have eternal life. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord, the Bible says. We are to live as children of light. When we do the celebrate tonight with the candles, we should be thinking about this light that God has given to us that we need to share with others. We are children of light. If you are in Christ, you are a child of the King, and you are in Christ, and you are the light that can offer the light of Christ to the world. And that's why we're here. We're here to give God the glory, to give Jesus Christ the glory, and to shine the light that's been shown in our hearts so that others can see the light. We have been given, brethren, all that we need in Christ. We have total peace with God. The love of Christ has freed us from condemnation. He loves us as a brother and a friend.
And he was born, lived, and died, and rose from the grave to set us free from spiritual darkness. No matter how you feel today, no matter how difficult this time of year is for you, whether you're going through trials now or because the trials you have experienced during previous holidays in the past, this is your time. This is your time to rejoice afresh with a fresh revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures, this Creator God who came to this earth as a babe and came to set you and I free. We can now give and receive gifts and celebrate and enjoy it as long as we don't look at our past or our present or our circumstances, but we look to Christ. We look to the light. And my prayer is, during the rest of the season, as you see the lights everywhere that look so beautiful, and as you take a look at those lights, think about the light that Jesus gave to the wise men. His star. He shone the light. He showed them who he was. He has given us that same light. And finally, if your name, if you are in Christ, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before all eternity. God loved you. He loved each of you who are in Christ. And he died for you. And he had written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The perfect Lamb who suffered, who lived a perfect life and suffered and died for you and for me. Loved you so much before the foundation of the world that he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to read Revelation, the end of the book. We saw the beginning of the book, Jesus the Creator. We saw Jesus in the manger. We see Jesus crucified. We see Jesus risen from the dead. John saw the glory of God and the light of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And he says in chapter 21, he says, "But I saw," this is in the New Jerusalem, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut by day. There shall be no night, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no means enter it, anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." If you are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have come to the light and you love the Lord Jesus and you worship him in spirit and truth, you will see this New Jerusalem. You will be where there will be no need for no light because Jesus will be your light forever. Let's pray and ask him to enter our hearts afresh this day. Heavenly Father, we pray and we thank you for your word. We ask that you would use your word, looking at the babe in Bethlehem as we sang, "O little town of Bethlehem, how do we see you lie?" We ask, Lord, that as we look at Christmas, as we celebrate, as we give good gifts to our families and friends, and we receive the gifts, that we would look at the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift and giver of all. We pray that you would help us to see him afresh this season. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.